you'll open your Bibles to Psalm 23. This morning, we finished our three-week series in this psalm with verses 5 and 6. And just like last week, let's read our verses together. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen. Would you pray with me? And so, Father God, believing that you are most certainly here in our midst, and as your children longing to hear from you, we open our hearts, we open our ears to receive the word you have for us. May these words that the psalmist declared eons ago be as new in our hearts that need an abundant host and a good shepherd this day. So here we are, O Lord. Would you help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you would have us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who's the most famous person that you've ever met? Anybody have a good one? Loretta Lynn. Nice. Who else? George Bush. Nice. First or second? The old one. Nice. I guess they're both old now, right? I mean, old-ish. Sorry for people the same age as either of them. Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse isn't real. Just a teenager in a costume. All right. So the most famous person you've met, one up it. Who's the most famous person you've ever had a meal with? Ooh. You. I like that. Me? Oh, man, that's sad. So then I shouldn't even bother asking, who's the most famous person that you've ever actually stayed in their home? Yeah, I don't have one either. Yeah, because you see, we know there's a big difference between being in the same room as someone, having a handshake with someone, to actually breaking bread with them, right? And there's a big difference between that little sneaky selfie when the person's back there somewhere and actually getting to stay in their guest bedroom. A big difference. It's that movement from acquaintance to relationship, from surface to intimacy. As we come to the end of Psalm 23 today, we see our God, who's not just some celebrity over and above us somewhere willing to get a selfie ever so often with us. But we see our God as this gracious, generous host who is ready at any moment to share his very own table. Better yet, it says his very own home, all of his heart with us who are his children. The God of the universe, that's the most famous person you've ever hung out with. And that's a good one. You can't one up that. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You see, the good shepherd that we've been following in those first four verses of the psalm, all of a sudden the metaphor has shifted. And he's not really a shepherd for this verse. All of a sudden, he has become this most extravagant host. In Middle Eastern culture, a way that you kind of show off your wealth, your status, is by setting a table. Not so much in America. In America, we want to show off our status. Like we buy a fancy car. And we just drive it down the road so they can just look and notice but not touch, right? That's the American way. But in the Middle East, if you want to show off your wealth, you set a big old table and you invite your neighbors to come and to bestow, see how great is your blessing with you. 2,000 years ago and even today, they're more communal in sharing in the blessings of one's abundance. When I spent my couple of years in the Middle East, I was amazed. I would show up in homes that I thought had next to nothing. And they would have me sit down on the floor and they would lay out their big old placemat and they would begin to just bring food out of the kitchen, just platters, one after another, until the floor was just covered in dozens of dishes. And as soon as you would get a plate full and you'd eat one bite, they'd fill your plate some more. And some more, and some more. I mean, you would leave just stuffed to the brim. But this was the way of the host saying, look, look, I'm pouring out my best, my blessings for you. And as you partook of their meal, you were saying, wow, you have been blessed, and I am blessed because of you. It's this shared table. It's this Middle Eastern culture. This is the metaphor we have of our God. The curious thing about this table in Psalm 23, though, is not that it's just any old table, right? It's not just me and my buddies hanging out in Egypt. In this table, the people in the room are rather unique. It's not just the family, not just the friends. But you notice who's also at this meal? My enemies. That's kind of an awkward dinner, right? The presence of my enemies. And we know King David, he only had a few enemies, right? If you begin to read the Psalms, like every other psalm is about his enemies. Just a couple of them. Psalm 54:3, he's talking about strangers who are actively trying to attack him and mean people who are trying to kill him. Psalm 35, he says, there are people right now, O God, who are plotting my ruin, and they want to repay me evil for the good I do. Whenever I fall, they sit there and they laugh, and they are telling lies about me. I mean, David had some friends, but David had a whole lot of enemies. And he knows that for this generous host to set up this table and to invite him and his special guest to come and dine at it, the host is willingly associating himself with one who is totally despised, knowing that in so doing, the host himself will probably be despised by the very same people. Because we tend to do that. Who's your enemy? Okay, they're my enemy too. And the host could care less. David declares, this generous host, our God, he demonstrates costly love to me, regardless of who's watching. He knows. He knows the people that are hostile to me will be hostile to him because of me the second that he finds a seat for me at his table. And he says, and you know what? He doesn't care. This God just loves me anyway. This host who is our God, is not embarrassed in the least about the rumors that are going around about his guest. This host, he's not ashamed of what his guest went and did on his very worst day. This host, he doesn't act really nice to his guest when they're one-on-one and then refuse to acknowledge him in public. You know those people, right? Not this host. Not this host. He's not afraid that those who hate him might hate him too. He just invites him to his table. And he just chooses to love this guest anyway. With no shame, with no embarrassment, with no fear of being associated with one who is so broken. God just loves anyway. That is our good, generous host. That is our God. You don't believe it? Just follow the story. Fast forward several hundred years, and here we have Jesus. And don't you know that Jesus experienced all kinds of hostility thanks to the people he chose to sit at a table with? You notice that? Leonard Sweet, my mentor, often says, Jesus got killed because he ate the best food with the worst people. Oh, it made him mad. The entire town of Jericho, they all came out to worship Jesus, to love Jesus, until Jesus told Zacchaeus, hey, you, head tax collector, come down. I'm having lunch at your house today. Oh, and that whole town turned on him because they hated that man. And why would Jesus sit at a table with him? Jesus just loved Zacchaeus anyway. Over and over again, Jesus is inviting the poor people who don't even have a seat at the table at all, not just to come sit at the table, but to move towards the head of the table. You know who that made mad? All the rich people, of course. And Jesus, all the time, he's eating with these sinners and these tax collectors and all the people that the religious people say they are out of bounds. That made the church really mad. Jesus lets this prostitute come and anoint his feet at the table. Everyone at that point is about ready to kill him. This guy and this messy stuff he does with the table, the people he associates with at the table, we don't like it. Makes us uncomfortable. And Jesus didn't care. He just loves anyway. You see, over and over, at the table of the Lord, our God says to us, you who are shamed, which is probably a few of us this morning, you who've had a rumor or two spread about you, well, I could say that's me, some of you too, right? We all live in a small town, it happens. You who have some people who just love to see you fall, it's probably a few of us in here. You who've gone and messed up again, you who hang your head low, trying to avoid their judgmental glances. You, come and find your seat at my table. Right in front of them, come and sit with me. Let me feed you the finest dishes that I can find. Let me empty out my pantries to show you, to show them that I still claim you. And that I am not ashamed of you, and I am not disappointed in you, and I am not plotting your fall. This is what the good host says. I am always only choosing to love you anyways. That's what the good host does. Come and find your seat and just let yourself be loved by this God. I mean, they may hate him for doing it, and guess what? He doesn't care. He's chosen to set a seat for David. Why not me? Why not me? We see that our God will let himself be scorned. He will go all the way to laying his very own life down just to declare how much he loves me, just to declare how much he loves you. Just come to the Lord's table and receive his love. On your very worst day, try to think about that. Your very worst day, not just because like bad weather, but in your own soul, when you did something that was against your character, your very worst day, who still claimed you? When you lost your job again, who still welcomed you home with open arms? When those lies that you had been telling finally caught up to you? Who looked you in the eyes and said, I will still take a risk on trusting you? Who was that? When you did that thing that you swore you would never do, who chose to stand by you? When everyone else turned their back on you, who said again and again, I am still with you? When you were walking through your darkest days, be it through divorce or through failure, through imprisonment, through addiction, through bankruptcy, through disappointing your loved ones, who absolutely refused to write you off? That person, oftentimes it's moms, right? Moms are reflections of Jesus to us in so many ways. That person in your life has been the presence of Christ for you. Because what they are doing is what our Jesus does. And if you say, well, I can think of those days in my life, and I tell you, no one stood with me in my darkest hour. I tell you, my friend, there was at least one. There was at least one. Because the same God that stood by David after murder, after adultery, and didn't write him off, but pulled out his best seat at his table and said, this one is yours. I still claim you. I still love you. With all of those who despised him looking on, this same God who said, he is still mine. I still choose you. I still gladly share my best with you. I still give you my heart. That same God is your same God. He's no different. And that love that he had for him is the exact same love that he has for you. He doesn't play favorites. We're all his beloved children. Just come to the table. This week at tables, would you just let your God love you? And those who are still mad at you, sure, they might get mad at God for being good to you, seeing how well he loves you. That's okay. Just let your God love you anyway. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Anointing oil, fine wine. These are two marks of extravagant hospitality. Have you ever been the honored guest at a banquet? I've only been at like a couple times in my life, usually whenever I was speaking at some kind of event and there was a meal before or after it. And I tell you, it's kind of awkward. You have to sit at like the front table and they have a little nameplate and they make you go and get your food first, which is very uncomfortable. And then as you sit there and as you eat, every time you do anything, the waitstaff is right there to refill, replenish, to make sure you're okay. And you just feel strange because you're speaking in a few minutes, you know in your heart of hearts you are no different than anybody in that room. You don't deserve this extra attention. You don't deserve this special treatment. It's just a little bit awkward. This is the picture of this verse. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. It's this extravagant treatment of this guest who deep in his heart knows, I don't deserve this any more than anybody else in this room. This oil, it would be a perfumed oil that would be dabbed on the forehead of the guest, and throughout the meal it would slowly drip down. I mean, that would drive me crazy, right? Like, get it off. But the thing is, all meal long, you smell this fragrance, and it's this constant message saying, you are worthy. You are worthy of my costly perfume. You are worthy of being honored in this way. That cup that overflows. Have you ever been to that restaurant where you had that overzealous waiter or waitress? I mean, you take a drink and then here they come to refill it. Take a drink. Especially with coffee, it's the worst because you finally get it right. You take a drink and then they top it off. And they're doing a good job, but ever so often, it's just a little bit awkward, right? It's like, don't you have another table to keep mindful of? Because I'm not needed. I'm not worthy of all this extra attention that you're giving to me. But at the host table, he says, shh, to all that, quiet. You are my honored guest. And it is his joy to pull out all of the stops to tell everyone who is watching, this is my beloved child. And it brings my heart as the host. It brings my heart joy to give her extra attention. It brings my heart joy to treat him with my utmost kindness. It brings my heart joy to care for my children with my most extravagant care. This very same host incarnated in the flesh, Jesus himself, a few hundred years later, he comes around, he says, I am the bread of life. Says, I am the living water. Eat from me, drink from me, and you will never be hungry. You will never be thirsty. Your cup will never be half empty, but always overflowing. God, the good host, as we know, he ends up even offering himself on that table. Bread and wine, body and blood broken and poured out to proclaim to the world, this is my beloved child. And it brings me such joy to take good care of him. In fact, I would rather die than not get to share my table with her. That is our extravagant good host, God. You see, our God is never a just enough God. Have you noticed that? He never gives us just enough of his presence to keep us satisfied. He doesn't attend to just enough of our needs to keep us from starving. He doesn't care about us just enough to keep our hearts fairly content. This is an extravagant, costly perfume, overflowing cup kind of God who absolutely delights in caring for us in the deepest, costliest, most extravagant ways to declare as loud as he can, I just really love this one. with everything I've got, with everything I have. I just really love this one. I don't know why we're not talking about that. I'm excited about that. This Thanksgiving week, my friends, why not take a moment to meditate on all the ways that our Jesus has been exceedingly good to us? Not just good enough, but exceedingly good to us. All the ways he goes over and above to show us how much he just delights in getting to love us. Well, how does he do that, we wonder? I mean, it just takes a little bit of thinking about it. Anybody in this room got some money in the bank? We don't really care how much, you know. Got some food in the pantry? You got some wood in your stove? You got some blankets in your closet? You got some gas in your car? What a generous provider we've got. Do you realize how extravagant he is? We, all of us, even the one that just said no, we, all of us, could live on so much less than we have. Every one of us in this room. But he just keeps taking care of us. Over and above, showing off his love for us over and over again. You got some people who love you? You got some family who prays for you every day? Someone who checks on you every week? You got some friends who you know would do anything for you? If you called them at 2 a.m., you know they'd be there? You got some brothers and sisters in Christ who encourage you on your journey with Jesus? Do you have some strangers in your life who have just been kind to you for no good reason lately? Don't you see? Don't you see that every one of us in this room, we could actually live on so much less love? We could. If we all maybe just had one person to love us kind of well, we could make it. We could make it. But oh my goodness, when we start thinking about it, our God has given us more. More. Not just enough love to make it, but so much love that our cups overflow. What a generous God we get to love. Anybody in this room have some strength in your bones today? I know some of you are hurting, but you made it somehow from your bed to this place. You may have had some cracks and some pops getting here, but you're here. You start thinking about your life and think of all the places that this one body has carried you. Think of all the things that this one body has allowed you to do. Think of the ways that this one body has let you bring life into the world. Or helped you help somebody else in need, or cast a fishing pole, or shoot a basketball, or plant a garden. This one body helped you climb a mountain, or lift an aging parent, lend a hand to a friend who had fallen. You see, we don't need all of this strength to merely stay alive. All of us could inhale and exhale with way less mobility than we have. But here we are, still able to lift our hands in praise to our Jesus, because we have a God who is abundantly good to us. He's extravagant in the ways that he declares, I just love getting to love them, and it's always more than just enough. This could go on all morning, but you all look really sleepy, so I will try not to let it. But this is good stuff, so I don't know why you're sleepy, because this is really good news. They could go on all morning, these ways that our God has been abundantly good to us. The ways that he has healed us from our pain that we thought would be with us forever. I mean, when you think about it, can you believe some of the valleys that you have walked through? And here you are on the other side of it. Some of those gaping wounds that have now become faint scars. Because you have this God who just kept applying his anointing healing oil on you until you were whole again. He's so generous, so extravagant. It's this God that just keeps getting to love us. This week, this Thanksgiving week, could we meditate for just a while on the ways that he is extravagantly good to us? All of us have reason to come to the table with hearts overflowing this week. May this be the most Thanksgiving Thanksgiving ever. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Ever been followed by someone? It's usually not a good thing, right? Unless it's like on Twitter or something. But when you hear that someone's following you, you usually think, that's creepy. It's a stalker, it's a thief, maybe just a toddler who won't let you go to the bathroom by yourself. You all know it's like to be followed. Being followed can be annoying, unnerving. Hear this morning, my friends. You are being followed. But in this case, it's really good news. It's really good news. You see, these sheep, we're back to the sheep metaphor now. It just kind of flows back and forth. Sheep, they typically actually know how to get home. They don't know how to find food and water, but wherever they go, they can usually figure out how to get back to their house, back where they belong. Just like those of you who ride horses. You can ride your horse all day long, and you know the second you turn that horse back towards the barn, they don't need you anymore. In fact, if you don't hold them back, they will run to that barn. They will run home. Similar with sheep. They know how to get home. And so oftentimes with the shepherd, they'll lead them out into pasture in the front. And then as the day ends and it's time to go back home, the shepherd will hang back to the back to keep his eye on those sheep that are tired from the day, the little lambs who are weak. And he will follow from behind to make sure that nobody gets left, that everyone gets home for the night. So at the end of the psalm, this shepherd, he's heading his sheep home, and he's gently walking behind, and he's just looking over it all, making sure that all is well and all is safe and everyone's accounted for and everyone gets to rest. The sheep, they're being followed by a shepherd whose heart for them is a heart of goodness and a heart of mercy. A heart of care, that's goodness, and a heart of grace. Mercy, comfort, and forgiveness. What more could they need to keep on keeping on until they are safely at home? My friends, in this journey of life that you are walking, you are being led by a good shepherd. This was 2 weeks ago. You are being led by a good shepherd who goes in front of you, who refuses to poke and to prod and to force you to follow him. He loves you too much to force you, but you are being led by a good shepherd who promises that if you do trust him and you do follow him, there are green pastures for you just around the corner. And in this very same journey that you're walking, you are being followed by this very same good shepherd. Isn't that beautiful? Led and followed. And he's seeing to it that you have every care that you need, every moment of the day until you're home with him at last. And he's making sure that you have all the grace that you're going to need for every time you fall on your face to stand back up and keep moving and keep growing, keep going. Every time you fail, until you too arrive at home with your shepherd and rest in his arms once and for all. You're being led and you're being followed by the same good shepherd. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Just can't get away from him if you want to. But why would we want to? And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can't get much closer to someone than making your home with them. It's that cry of Jesus' heart in John 15. He's about to go to the cross, and he says to his disciples, abide in me. Make your home with me. Once I leave this place, those who love me still, make your home with me. Make your home with me as I want to make my home with you. Jesus saying, I give you all of me. I give you the most intimate things I have to give you. I invite you into my own home. Come and be at home with me. All of our days, starting this day, I've said this so many times in this room, and I'll say it so many more because I believe it with all my heart, and it's good news. All of your days, including this day, you can have as much of your God as you want. You can be as close to your God as you want to be. You can experience God's love as deeply or as fully as you want to experience it. I will live with him all the days of my life. Live with him, make my home with him. That is the ultimate of intimacy all the days of my life. That includes this moment of this day. My friends, if you're in this room this morning and in your heart of hearts, you just want more of God in your life. Good news, you can have more of God in your life. His entire home is open to you to come on in and find your place with him. You see, we usually don't have more of God because if we're honest, we don't really want more of God. We're okay with what we've got. The acquaintanceship is working fine, but it's not working fine, not when we know what we're missing. But if more of Jesus, my friends, if more of Jesus is what we're after, more of Jesus is ours for the taking. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's not just heaven, but it goes into heaven. But it starts right now. Heaven come to earth as we make our homes with our Jesus right here and right now. You can have as much of him as you want. He's an abundantly good shepherd, an extravagant host. He holds nothing back. We're the ones who hold back, not him. This is the God who doesn't care who's watching, who gladly declares, "This is my child, and I love him. And I love her, and it is my joy to care for her with all I've got. And it is my promise to follow him with goodness and mercy all of his days. And it is her invitation to come and be at home with me." My friends, may we dwell at the very best table, in the very best house, with our good shepherd, with our extravagant host, with our only true Lord, with the only real Savior, Jesus Christ, this very day, this very week, and for all of the days of our lives. It's the invitation. It's ours for the taking. Will we take it? Do you pray with me? Oh, Lord, you are our shepherd. Oh, Jesus, you are our extravagant host. All that you have for us is love and goodness and mercy. Why we don't trust you with every part of us, I don't know. I don't know because I believe all the things you say about who you are. I've seen it in my life. I see it this very day. Help us, O Lord, your sheep, your weak, feeble sheep who get distracted so easily. Help us come back to your green pastures. Help us come back to your table. Help us come back to your home this day. And with grateful hearts, we look forward to loving you back this entire week. For, O God, you love us so well. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.